We live in a culture where, sadly, many people know little or nothing about the Bible. However, if people are familiar with any passage of the Bible at all, it is usually John 3:16. You probably have it memorized, some of you. It reads as follows: "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." You know, many of us hear that so often, or think about it so often, that we forget that there's a whole lot there. In fact, that short Bible verse raises a lot of questions. For example, who is God? What does it mean for God to love the world? What does it mean that God gave His only Son? What does it mean to believe in Him? And what does it mean to perish versus having eternal life? Those are important questions. So listen closely to the rest of the sermon and you'll hear the answers to those questions. Now, if you were here last Sunday, you heard me preach on the first 12 verses of John chapter 3, where Jesus was talking to a man named Nicodemus about how a person becomes part of God's eternal family. And in the same sermon, we learned from Jesus about God's gift of baptism and how God uses baptism to give us sinners new birth from above. That is, new hearts that grieve over our sin and cling to Jesus as our Savior from sin and death and eternal hell. Well, today we pick up where we left off last Sunday, and we get to hear more about who Jesus is and exactly what He did for us. Today's gospel reading begins with these words: "No one," excuse me, "no one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man." Now, what does that mean? Well, first of all, the Son of Man is one of the many titles for Jesus. In fact, I preached on this title back on September 23rd, and simply put, the title Son of Man means that Jesus is God in human flesh. But what does it mean when He says that no one has ever gone into heaven except the Son of Man? Does that mean that all the believers who have died throughout history are not in heaven? Does that mean your loved ones who have died believing in Jesus are not in heaven? No. What these words mean is that the only human who has direct access to heaven, the only human who has the power and holiness to enter heaven, is Jesus, because He is also God. Therefore, the only way we sinful humans can enter heaven is if we trust in Jesus, because only He can get us there. That's what that verse means. But how does Jesus get us sinners to heaven? Well, that's where the next verse of our gospel reading comes in. "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in Him." So what's all this weird talk about Moses lifting up a snake in the wilderness, and what does that have to do with Jesus? Well, if you read the Old Testament book of Numbers, chapter 21, you will learn about a time in Israel's history after the Exodus and during their journey through the wilderness to the Promised Land. Sadly, as Israel had done many times before, they began to complain. They complained because they were not satisfied with the way that God was caring for them in the wilderness. Now, they weren't deprived. God gave them food. God gave them water. He gave them protection from the elements. They were fine, but they wanted more. They were complaining. In fact, some of them said, "Let's just go back to Egypt." Well, God knew that if they continued to have such a rebellious spirit toward Him, they would not be able to receive His mercy. So God disciplines them. He disciplines them by sending poisonous snakes among the people. I know that seems harsh, but God was doing that out of love because he knew their eternal life was in jeopardy. But at the same time, God also provided a way for them to be saved from the snakes. What did he do? Well, God tells Moses to fashion an image of a snake out of bronze and then to hold it high up on a pole. God then says that the people who acknowledged that they had sinned against God could look at the bronze snake and then they would not die if they happened to be bitten by one of the poisonous snakes. With all that said, how does this apply to Jesus? Well, the bronze serpent represented the fact that they deserved punishment for their sin. But if they looked at the bronze snake and agreed with God that they had sinned and also believed that God was their Savior, they would live and not die. Well, in the same way, today's gospel reading says that Jesus must be lifted up so that those who look to him will not perish. Now, of course, the words lifted up refer to Jesus hanging on the cross, where he suffered God's wrath for our sin. And when we think of Jesus hanging on the cross, this is what should be going through our mind. You know, that's the punishment I deserve for my many sins against God. But I trust in Jesus who took my punishment so that I might be forgiven and live now and forever as God's dearly loved child. Now that doesn't mean that I don't have to face physical death in this life. I still do. But like we heard at the end of the creed, we face death in the certain hope of the resurrection of the body and the life of the world to come. In fact, as I've said in previous sermons over the years, everybody gets to live forever. Everybody will be resurrected on the final day, believer and unbeliever alike. The question is, where will you spend eternity, and with whom will you spend eternity? With that in mind, we're now ready for that famous Bible verse, John 3:16, which reads, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Now again, this raises a lot of questions, so let's take them one at a time briefly. First of all, who is God? There's a lot of false religions and false gods in this world. Well, the Bible teaches that there is only one God, but he exists as three distinct yet united persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Therefore, in John 3:16, the word God refers to God the Father, and we're told that he loves this world. But what kind of world did the Father choose to love? Well, he loves this world filled with sinful people who have rejected him so they can believe what they want and live as they please. In other words, God loves a world that is not very lovable. In fact, the Bible is clear. We deserve God's wrath because of our many sins against him. Now, you need to know that God did not make the world this way. As you know, God made the world perfect, and the first humans, Adam and Eve, loved God. They trusted his word, but it didn't stay that way. Adam and Eve rejected God so they could be their own gods and decide for themselves what is good and what is evil. And the Bible teaches that their sinful nature has been passed on to us. And my friends, that's why there's so much evil and pain and suffering in the world. We've made a real mess of things. But God still loves us. Therefore, God made a way to save us from ourselves. How did God do this? He gave his one and only Son who would be lifted up on the cross in our place of damnation that we might be forgiven and have eternal life with God, just as he intended in the beginning. You see, even though God is love, he's also just. I mean, what kind of God would he be if he didn't care about sin and evil? In fact, if you don't care about sin and evil and all the damage it causes, you're not very loving, are you? So because God is love, perfect love, he is also just. But because God wants to save us from the damnation we deserve, he came up with a solution that blows our minds. The Father's solution to his justice and desire to be merciful was that he took your sin and my sin and the sin of all people and put it on his Son and punished him in our place so that we would not have to spend eternity in hell but could live now and forever as God's dearly loved children. So with that said, the next part of our gospel reading gives us some very important information. Let me just read it again. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in God. Now there's a whole lot there, so let me sum it up briefly. First of all, you need to know this. God does not want anyone to end up in hell. I've met some skeptics and unbelievers in the world, even here in Jamestown, and one of their gripes is that, well, what kind of loving God would send people to hell? I can't believe in a God like that. And I said, I can't either. God doesn't want anybody to end up in hell. In fact, that's why God continues to point people to Jesus. God sent his Son to the cross so that no one would have to end up in hell. However, if people refuse to agree with God that their sin is evil, and if they refuse to trust in God's Son who sacrificed himself for us so that we do not have to be condemned, in other words, if we don't take our sin seriously and we want nothing to do with God and his mercy, then we're already condemned. We've done it to ourselves. You see, we don't have to wait until the final day of judgment to find out where we're going, whether we will spend eternity in heaven or in hell. On the one hand, if you agree with God that your sin is evil, and if you trust in his Son as your Savior, then, did you hear? You're not condemned. You're on your way to heaven. Praise the Lord. However, if you continue to rebel against God and you have absolutely no remorse over your sin, if you see no need to fall on your knees in repentance and trust in Jesus as your Savior, then sadly you're already condemned and your eternal destiny is hell, not because God wants you there, but because you're the one sending yourself there. Please understand, hell is not God's idea. Hell is our idea. Hell is necessary because where are people to go if they don't want anything to do with God? Hell is necessary because we have rebelled against God and we deserve his wrath. But the good news is that God so loved us sinners that he sent his Son to the cross so that no one would have to end up in hell. And my friends, that's why Jesus hasn't returned yet. Every day God holds off on the final judgment is another day for the gospel to go out into the world and to capture another heart. That's why God's light continues to shine the light of his word into the spiritual darkness of this world, so that people may repent and be saved and have eternal life through faith in Christ. But sadly, our gospel reading says that some reject the light of God's word even if they do hear it. Why? Well, the reason is that God's word exposes the fact that we're sinners who deserve God's wrath. And many people don't want to believe that because they want to pretend that they're basically good people even while they continue to ignore God and rebel against him in desire, thought, word, and deed. But the good news is that even though the light of God's word exposes our sin and the fact that we deserve God's wrath, and I know that's painful, it hurts me too, the good news is that the light of God's word also leads us to Jesus, our Savior, who died for our sins and conquered death for us that we might be forgiven and have the certain hope of eternal life with the God who loves us. And how do we know He loves us? He was willing to give His only Son for us, even though we don't deserve it. Listen again to the final verse of today's gospel reading. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in God. Now, what does that mean? Simply put, if you're here today, grieving over your sin and clinging to Jesus as your Savior, don't pat yourself on the back. You see, the only reason you live by the truth of God's word is that the Holy Spirit has given you new birth from above. When you enter heaven with Jesus, you're going to give God all the glory, because the only reason you're saved is that God so loved this world that He gave His only Son for you, for us, for all people. And the only reason we believe in Jesus is that the Holy Spirit has worked through baptism and the preaching of God's word to give us new hearts of repentance and faith. So in closing, we believers should thank God every day for His love. We should thank God every day for giving His Son to be our Savior. I mean, what a joy it is to wake up every morning knowing that you are God's forgiven child. What a joy it is to live every day as God's forgiven children who have the certain hope of eternal life in the face of death itself because of Jesus and all that He has done for us. But one last thing. We need to remember that many people in this world still live in spiritual darkness. And that's why this congregation exists. Yes, this congregation exists to feed us. One of the jobs of a pastor is to feed God's sheep. Those who are already believers need to continue to grow in God's word so that they might be comforted and strengthened in their faith. Yes, that's one of the reasons this congregation exists, so that you might be fed. But there's another reason we're here. Because we need to remember that there are many people in this world still living in spiritual darkness. Therefore, the other reason this congregation exists is to be a light in this world. We need to remember that we have the joy and wonderful privilege of telling others about our wonderful God who loved us so much that He gave His one and only Son for us that we might not perish, but have eternal life with Him. And my prayer is that God will bless us all to be His witnesses in this world, that one more soul might be saved. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.